Thank you. Sometimes when individuals reach a certain age, they insist that they no longer celebrate their birthdays. They see absolutely no reason to do so. Now, on the other hand, there are people who actually look forward to their special days with anticipation and expectancy. They eagerly await those invitations, those ones from family and friends, asking them to go to lunch or dinner, perhaps to the movies or some other activity that they know you enjoy. Now, these individuals tend to celebrate way beyond the actual date, enjoying themselves into the next week and possibly even into the next month. Those who celebrate in this way are not so concerned about the number of candles on the cake. They simply enjoy the celebration, getting together with family and friends. Regardless of how it is that we feel about our own birthday, all of us will celebrate a birthday this coming week. On Tuesday, the 4th of July, we will celebrate the birthday of our nation. Now, I don't know if all of us will acknowledge it in an individual way. Perhaps not. But we will not be able to miss it. There will be parades, and there will be concerts. And then there will be all of those events down on the mall. We will notice that some roads will be closed. And yes, there will be no mail delivery or trash collection. And do not try to go to the bank unless you plan to use the ATM machines. While we might not be celebrating the nation's birthday in an individual way, we will not be able to say that we did not know about the event. There will be speeches, and they will remind us that the birthday commemoration bears witness to that time when the nation declared its independence. It declared itself to be free of tyranny, free of repression, free to govern itself, set laws in motion, and establish policy. It was a time to declare freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, and freedom to assemble. In time, there was a constitution and also a Bill of Rights, all asserting the right of the individual to do certain things. Now, while the nation as a whole made this declaration, it was totally understood that freedom was to be enjoyed by all people. So on our nation's birthday, there will be picnics and barbecues, perhaps in the backyard or in the park. Some individuals will go down to the Archives building to view the written documents that put it all in place. Don't forget the fireworks at the end of the day. All of this activity, all of this coming together, is done in recognition of the freedom granted to us by an act of Congress in that time of declaring independence. Now, we understood what it is that the nation does on its birthday, and we understand why it does it. But what about us? What about our own birthday? Could we be doing something besides blowing out candles and admitting that, yes, time marches on? It is true that we are marking the passage of time. On our birthday morning, we turn that calendar and we discover, yes, we are 1 year older. Should we be doing something else besides just celebrating us, simply acknowledging the fact that we are still here? Could this be a time to stand up and declare certain things for ourselves? Does this new milestone demand something of us? Is it time to step outside of what we have established and put in place? Is this an opportunity to declare our freedom to be and to do, going beyond our prior expectations? Now, as human beings, we tend to set boundaries and limitations, ones that restrict us in some way. We may even have a feeling of guilt associated with some act of commission or omission. And we are famous for considering all the what-ifs of life, agonizing over our past decisions and our determinations. I mean, what if we had done this rather than that? Well, things probably would have turned out differently, for sure. But would they have been any better? In making decisions, we might have looked at others to see what exactly worked for them. Then we attempted to pattern our lives based on what they had done, even though we really didn't know exactly how they had done it. From time to time, we may have found us paying attention to what others had to say, especially when they were talking about us. Perhaps we were listening to the voice of the media, to the voice of reason, or perhaps to the famous one called the voice of public opinion. And then based on what we heard, we made our decisions concerning how we should think and how we should act. Now, if any of us can answer yes to any of the above, then I say it's time for us to declare our independence, and this might as well be our Independence Day. Let us declare us to be free from the influence of others, free to just leave them where they are, confident in our own innate ability to think and to do. Let us declare us free of established routine, free to live and move outside the usual way of doing things. When we first consider our desire to be free from something, many times it is really our desire to be free to do something. We want to be free to chase our dreams and to climb our mountains, achieving and accomplishing what comes with that phrase, freedom to be. And each of us decides exactly what that's going to mean individually. To consider that we want to be free usually means that we want to be free to be something that we do not think we already are. Perhaps to be a little healthier or a little more successful. Perhaps we have looked around us and judged ourselves to be lacking in some way. Many times the man Jesus was called upon to meet the needs of individuals who seemed to be lacking in some way. We are told that sick people came to Jesus to be healed so that they could be free of their illness, of their disease. We are told that Jesus was called upon to feed 5,000 people so that they could be free of their hunger. But healing and feeding people at the level of the need was not Jesus' mission. These individuals were following a miracle worker and not the spirit of his teaching. When Jesus did these things, he was giving a lesson in truth. He demonstrated a principle that operates in the soul of man, one that sets us free from hunger and disease. But so few people caught his vision. They were so busy looking at those loaves and fishes and the signs following that they completely miss the truth of their own being. They miss the message that the healing power was within them. That right in their being was the creative activity that would multiply the loaves and fishes and anything else each and every day of their lives. They were so busy watching Jesus as Christ that they missed his message, what I can do, ye can do also. And so it is with many people today. Now, I dare say that the people who were fed and healed, they were very grateful for what had happened. They really were. At that moment, they were free from what had troubled them, and yes, they were grateful. And so they continued to marvel at the man Jesus. But it didn't last. The problem was that they did not catch the meaning of his words. What I can do, ye can do also. The next day, they were hungry, and a different form of disease had come upon them. Their whole vision was on the effect and not the cause. They set barriers and restrictions on their idea of self, and they continued on and on in the same old way. Now, in truth, they had the freedom to be. According to the truth of them, it was already in them. But they were simply not ready to know themselves in this way. They had not yet declared their independence from the world of duality. And so they were not free to be anything other than that man of flesh and blood. And they continued to rely on the man, Jesus. Now, in our desire to have the freedom to be, let us not follow the approach of the multitudes, looking to someone else's vision to bring it about. Let us not run all over the countryside, looking for someone to feed us, to clothe us, or to heal us. Let us not chase after others, asking them to make us happy and fulfill us in some way. Let our vision be higher than the loaves and the fishes and the signs following. Let us be the one who seeks the spirit of the teaching and not merely the messenger itself. And so we read the Bible, the stories that tell us of the healings and of the miracles. Let us be the one who turns within and asks, what is the principle behind it? Teach me the principle. And then we listen. Our only desire for freedom to be should be the freedom to be according to our divine nature, to live, move, and have our being in God. And so let us contemplate what this might mean if we were actually able to live in this way. Well, we talk about chasing our dreams. Any true and sincere desire has its fulfillment in inner being. There is no need to chase after it. It merely asks us to turn within, give recognition, so that it may come forth fulfilling itself. We talk about climbing our mountains of high accomplishment and achievement. The true mountain is a place of higher consciousness, and while the way is straight and narrow, the pure in heart shall find it. Ah, yes, so let's talk about the pure in heart. You see, this can be difficult at times. To be pure in heart is to be single-minded, to keep our eyes stayed on Thee. And you know, this is the only place where one is truly free. To be spiritually minded frees us from what the world has to offer as its duality, its suggestions, conditions, and circumstances. To be spiritually minded allows us to be free to be who we are, according to that divine seed planted in us. This is so for us, but only to the degree that we stay true to our quiet time, where we declare the truth of our being. The world tends to legislate its freedom by the passing of laws and the affirming of rights. And then it is up to us to decide what are we going to do with it. For instance, the law has given us the right to vote, but not everyone takes advantage of it. Not everyone votes. We have many excuses. We didn't get around to it. We forgot to register. We really did not like any of the candidates. And on we go. Still, it remains. Even though the law gives us the freedom to do something, it is up to us to accept it or not. And so it is with our spiritual freedom to be according to our divine nature. Christ is who we are. And it is this identity that frees us from the confines established by mortal man. Even though this is eternally so, it is up to us to decide what to do with the information. The invitation is, come on to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now this certainly sounds like freedom to me, but how many of us actually accept the invitation? How many of us are willing to give up our mental practice and turn ourselves over to an inner activity we have not yet proven? Some of the most common barriers to our freedom to be are the ones that we put into place, using our mental worth, giving power to our ability to think and to reason. When we do not abide in that place of inner being, we live, move, and have our idea of us in the realm of the lesser self, the one of flesh and blood. Now, it is the mental work of thought that establishes us in that place. We invent and imagine many ways to think about us. Remember, we think after us according to our age, our gender, our race, and our culture. We think after us according to our occupation, our status in the family, or perhaps our place in society. Then we call us by that name, accepting it as our reality. There is no freedom for us to do or to be when we act in this way. Each of those things carries a certain connotation, a certain concept of us. And then we try to live up to those concepts and the connotations. But don't you see? These are the very restrictions and limitations that we say we want to be free from, not realizing that we are the ones who put them in place. Having put them in place, we are the only one who can remove them. We cannot blame others for what it is we carry around with us as our view of life, as our judgments, our condemnation. Our desire for freedom to be is really a desire to be free of us, free of all of those misconceptions and our misthinking, we may count ourselves among the multitudes, looking to that material demonstration to keep us healthy and fit. And we continue to be satisfied with the leftover crumbs of what others have achieved, oblivious to that inner voice that says, before they call, I have already answered. Let this be our Independence Day. Let us choose to accept the invitation to come on to me. In humility and surrender, I say, speak, Lord. I am listening. I am an empty vessel waiting to be filled with your guidance and your direction. And then I rest and I become the beholder. True fairy freedom comes in knowing that right where I find me is where I am supposed to be. Not necessarily what I might think I should do or where I should be, but where it is that you want me to serve you and to be. And the comfort comes in knowing that what I am given to do, I will not do it alone. Let us not be so concerned about what the experience might be. Take the meat from it and leave the empty shell. There is no value at all in carrying around an empty shell. There is no value in carrying around grudges and resentments. Absolutely no benefit in calling up those past fears and concerns. These are the things we want to be free from. We wish to be free of our past judgments and our erroneous ideas about us, our fellow man, and about life. When we declare independence from what we do not want, we place our faith in the qualities of inner being, trusting them to give us rest from the work of mortal man. The message I want to leave with you today is this. You have been given freedom, a freedom the world knows not of. Your freedom is spiritual. And when you can look around yourself and say, I have overcome the world, then you know that this is so. Your freedom does not require an act of Congress or a written bill of rights. Your freedom is written in the soul of man, and the author is him who has sent you. This morning we have the opportunity to enter the quiet place and rest in the stillness of the Most High. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us pause and give recognition to the holy right seed planted in us. I dwell in the soul of man reveals that God is in the midst of us. In the solitude of this moment, we turn within and claim the divine presence as our true name. The inner ear, it hears marvelous things. I have come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it abundant. I have prepared a place for you, enter in, and be at peace. I reveal all things in the sanctuary of inner being. What is given in secret is shouted from the rooftops. What is hidden shall be revealed. I go before you fulfilling the promises given in the time of quiet communion. Be still and know is the way to the kingdom. As we leave the sanctuary this morning, we go in peace. Let us stay true to our quiet time. In the stillness, we hear him call our name. This is my child in whom I am well pleased. and so it is. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Please stand.